Let's commit this time to the Lord and join me in prayer. Father, for the word that I'm going to share, Lord, I pray that you anoint my lips and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts this afternoon, Lord, be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Jonah, I always believe that it's a story of God's relentless grace. He never gave up upon Jonah, upon the people of Nineveh. I started with this Jonah, Run, Jonah, Run. And chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 3. Actually, Run, Jonah, verse 1 to verse 3. And today's topic, instead of, because in chapter 1, Jonah tried to escape, run away from God. But today what I'm going to preach is, go, Jonah, go. And it seems that I always preach on a few verses. I like to preach on a few verses because it's really so much things in the couple of verses. The first time I preach of verse 1 to verse 3. And today I'm going to just preach four verses. Chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 4. Go, Jonah, go. All right? And then many years back, when I was still young, okay, there's a comic book, a British one, I think, DC Thomas Company comic called The Beano. It started in 1938. This is how it looks like. Okay, Jonah, how many of you read this comic before? We are quite old, actually. Jonah, it's as humorous. I remember, I'm not in the 1930s, but in the 60s, 70s, I used to buy this comic to read. And one of the characters is Jonah. One of the characters in the comic book is Jonah. It reminds me of the Bible, Jonah. And Jonah always gives you that sinking feeling, right? And the people say, you are Jonah. Don't ever mix with anyone whose name is Jonah. Right, and then it says this, ahoy there, readers, I'm Jonah, I work on board a ship, right, a cute character. Now, someone said that the name Jonah brings bad luck. I said, that's just a silly seafarer superstition. Then he said, yeah, but I'm the captain. So we left Jonah in the boat. Instead of the whole ship sink, and Jonah was left in the boat. But the biblical Jonah is different. He was not left in the ocean on a boat, but he was left. He was thrown into the sea and was swallowed up by this big fish, whatever that fish is, right? And last week, Varon was sharing on this, that Jonah was being swallowed up by this fish. Actually, God created this fish many years, could be for this duty just to swallow Jonah up. It must be a huge, really huge fish, because to remain 3 days without oxygen, without anything in the belly, it must be a huge fish in order to be able to breathe for 3 days and three nights. And Jonah was there, and Jonah prayed. All right, he was thrown in the sea, And then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. I thought it was good last week. Verona was sharing very drama how the fish was, or how he was inside the fish, dark and whatever it is. And Verona shared three things, right? 3 points in her sermon. It says a twist of destiny, a new pair of eyes after in the belly of the fish, a new pair of eyes. In the secret sanctuary, in the belly of the fish, Jonah cried out to the Lord. And Verona shared to us to respond two ways in our most difficult time. Cried out to the Lord in times of need. And Jonah was, no one was around. He was in a secret sanctuary, in a secret place of the fish belly. And he prayed to the Lord, very intense prayer. No one was there to watch how he prayed, but he prayed. And we want to challenge us to return to and rest in the center of God's will. So this is the thing that God, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, and he prayed, sincerely prayed, and God heard his prayer. And when God heard his prayer, the Lord commanded the fish. The fish is able to hear God's voice, listen to God's word. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. Not in the middle of the sea, but on dry land. And what land is that? It's the land of Nineveh, which he really doesn't want to go. He landed on the land of Nineveh, a dry land. It's incredible, beautiful. Today I'm going to share with you four lessons, the FRRF. Okay, Singaporeans always like this. So F-R-R-F, the first F was stand for forgiven. Jonah is forgiven. Really, he was forgiven. He disobeyed God. I mean, God, a mighty God. He knew that this is a mighty God who created heavens and the earth. And yet he disobeyed. But he was forgiven. And secondly, the R, he was restored back. Thirdly, he was renewed. Right? Not only restored back, made back communion with God, but he was renewed in his mind, in his mission. And fourthly, he fulfilled his calling. Right. So we're going to go through the first slide on forgiven. Jonah was forgiven. In the belly of the stomach of the fish, he asked for prayer. Now, forgiveness is a topic that forgiveness, what does forgiveness mean? Forgiveness in Jonah's case, forgiveness does not mean that God is condoning or excusing Jonah's offenses, disobedience. God don't. He forgives, but he remembers. So forgiveness does not mean that God condones what he's doing, escape from God, or excusing Jonah's disobedience. God's forgiveness, his restoration, the main thing, God's forgiveness is to restore relationship with God. God's restoration of relationship is to remove Jonah's guilt. We know that God is righteous, that he will not leave sin unpunished. We always say that God is love, but the other side of God, he is a God of wrath. God is merciful and he is ever more willing to show his mercy than his wrath. Yet his wrath is also very real. His anger burns, remember in Exodus chapter 32, his anger burns against the Israelites when they worship the golden calf. Exodus 32 verse 30 to 35. If you have a Bible, turn to it. Exodus 32 verse 30 to 35. It shows that God is merciful, yet he's a righteous God. He punished the people for their sin, for making the golden calf. Exodus verse 30. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You yourself have committed a great sin, and now I'm going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." How serious the sin was. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, these people have committed a great sin, for they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out of your book, which you have written." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. But now go, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day that when I punish, I will punish them for their sin." The wrath of God is there. Verse 35, "Then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made." Although God is merciful, nonetheless, he's a righteous and he's a jealous God. The Bible always tells us, illustrate God's character as both merciful, righteous, and a jealous God. Jealous God. He demands total commitment from his people. Now, in spite of Jonah's deliberate disobedience, God, in his mercy, actually commanded a fish to swallow Jonah. And after that, he demanded something from Jonah. God required obedience from individual and also as a nation. In this case, God required, after Jonah repented, God required obedience from individual, Jonah, and also as a nation, Nineveh. Jonah was given a second chance, and the Ninevites, was given a chance to repent. Verse 5 tells us the Ninevites believe in God. God deliberately gave Jonah another chance to obey him and gave him another chance to fulfill his commitment by going to Nineveh. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah after he was landed on the land. The second time, the word of the Lord came to him. The second time, God gave another chance to Jonah. God's calling of Jonah the second time is an evidence of his being at peace with Jonah and accepting Jonah's earlier prayer in the belly of the fish. God's forgiveness in our life, God forgive us. God's forgiveness is the evidence of being at peace and accepting us, but he demands us to do something. God calls each one of us to where he wants us to go. God's people must go where God sends them. The word go here, it's like go. When he calls, we go. That's all. Go means to get up from where we are. Don't give any excuses, but just to go. Because God wants us to be there to minister. We must do whatever the word of God, the word of the Lord commands us. Is the Lord asking us to do something? Not once, not twice, but three times. He tells us, do it, go. But we give excuses. Brothers and sisters, don't turn a deaf ear to his prompting. I want to share an experience which is many, many years back, but this experience has been taunting me many years. I shared this some time ago. During my nursing time, when I was a student nurse at SGH, being a student nurse, we had to do everything. And I was asked to go one ward above my ward, the ward above me, to assist one patient to go for X-ray. In the days, you had to go to the X-ray department. The X-ray machine do not come to you. So I have to assist. And it's not my patient. So when I go up there, I saw this young man, probably 18, 19 years old. His face was purplish color, tan color. And I was pushing him in a trolley to the X-ray department. I happened to talk to him. I said, what happened to you? Why your face is purplish? He says, I'm a NS man. I just enlisted in the army, but I cannot take it. So I took some insecticide. He swallowed some insecticide and his face turned. So after assisting him to the X-ray demand, I sent him back to his ward. And then I went down to my ward, continued to work. And then that afternoon, the Lord prompted me, say, go and share my love to this boy. He does not have time. So I said, okay, Lord, I will go. But after that, when I reached home, I was totally forgotten about it. And that night, the Lord again reminded me, go and share the gospel. Second time, the Lord told me. And then the next day, I said, okay, I must go. And then the next morning, when I go to work, morning shift, totally forgotten about it. New student nurse, we do everything. And I was so tired. By the time, the second day I reached home, I was totally forgotten about it. And in the night, he reminds me, he said, didn't I told you a second time to go and share the gospel? Then I said, okay, Lord, tomorrow morning, early in the morning, I will really go up to the water and share the gospel to this guy. And the next morning when I went up to, I said, Lord, I'm going to share with him. You know what happened? Do you want to know what happened? Come back next week, I'll tell you. I always do that to my, no. When I went up there, I saw the bed was empty. So I asked the staff nurse, what happened to this bed, young man? He told me, oh, he passed away. He passed away. He died last night. The Lord gave me a second chance to share the gospel. I did not do that. I know I've been forgiven by the Lord, but this was upon my heart very, very heavy. Jonah, in his disobedience, but he faithfully and boldly, he shared the gospel, right? But I did not. Jonah faithfully in the end and boldly delivered his errand, but I did not. Many times now I experience, even in a Hokkien worship service, and I say, because these people that we Hokkien worship minister to are elderly people, do not procrastinate. And when the Lord convicts us, we go. You will never know. At the right time and the right place, God works his miracle of salvation. Don't experience what I've experienced when I was a student nurse. You see the power of divine grace coming to Jonah the second time. God gave Jonah a second chance, telling him what to do. Second part, after he was forgiven, Jonah was restored. God says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, the message I tell you. This time God did not tell him Nineveh was so wicked that their sins rise up to me. But just go and tell. Arise and go. Restored means bringing back to its original condition. The biblical meaning of the word restoration is to bring us and receive us back to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. It means God restored Jonah and he's fully awakened. After being restored, Jonah now listens to his second call. I shared during my first sermon, hearing and listening is quite different. Hearing is simply the act of perceiving sound by the ear. The first call, Jonah chose to hear, and he gave excuses. He ran away. The first time Jonah chose to hear, but now after being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights and being vomited out on unharmed by the fish, not in the middle of the sea, but on dry land, Jonah restored. And now Jonah chose to listen to God's calling. It is said that if you are not hearing impaired, hearing happens. But listening, however, is something a person consciously chooses to do. Listening requires concentration so that your brain work process the meaning of the words and sentences. Jonah experienced the worst nightmare and also experienced God's greatest restoration. Now, do we choose to hear God's calling, which we can actually ignore? Or do we want to choose to listen to God's calling and respond by obeying it? The second calling of Jonah. God did not explain what happened. Just go and I will teach you what to do. Just simply go and share the word of God. Jonah was restored. God gave him second chance. And thirdly, Jonah was renewed. Verse 3. Jonah received renewed perspective. Jonah resumed after the interruption of the storm in his life and after the interruption of being 3 days, three nights in the belly of the fish. Jonah now re-established his relationship with the merciful God. Here verse 3 says, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord now. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah was cooped up in the belly. He cannot see anything but just 3 days. And now he's landed in the land, 3 days to go around to share the gospel. Jonah landed on Nineveh right there. No turning back. He got no way to escape anymore. He was landed right in the land of Nineveh. He can't escape. He can't run away. He was renewed and he knows he must do something. Lastly, Jonah fulfilled his calling. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown." He fulfilled his call. His calling, he began to go into the city and he cried out. He must do what is required by God now. Unwilling or reluctantly, he must succeed in doing or providing a way for the people of Nineveh to believe in God. He must succeed in achieving what he was called to do. No more escape. Seeing the people of Nineveh, he must see the people of Nineveh accepting the Lord. He must accomplish his task no matter what it takes. In the NIV version, it says, on the first day, on the very first day when he was landed on the land, on the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He warned of the coming danger. 40 days is a long period, long time for a righteous God to delay judgment. Yet it is but a little time for the unrighteous people to repent and to reform. How did Jonah proclaim the message? Sometimes I think, how did Jonah proclaim, go and share? Was his message spoken very tenderly? 40 days now, God will come, better do something. I mean, knowing Jonah's character, Jonah must be filled with anger. So his message must be filled with lightning and bolts. Better believe, 40 days, that's it. Whichever way or however he did it, he just went and shared the word of God. And the Ninevites repented. and call for a nation fasting, a sign of repentance. The warning comes in 40 days of grace were granted to the nation of Nineveh. 40 days to make sure that everyone in Nineveh would have a chance to repent. And that's what the gospel says. God saying he's not delaying in his coming. He wants everyone to be saved. A 3 days journey in circumference in the place. What a task Jonah has. Imagine, just being vomited out of the fish, smelling fishy smell all over his body. I imagine it could be seaweed. I'm sure he didn't bring any clothes. Whatever clothes he was on, he wear them. Dirty, fishy smell with the food, whatever the fish has consumed. And he went fishy as smell as it is. You know, fish smell can be terrible. Fishy smell. He went around. This stranger went around thundering out his voice, cried out among the wicked and the crossed, better repent. The Lord is going to destroy this city in 40 days. Who would believe this guy? Fishy and smelling and just going and blah, blah. But Jonah learned what to do, what he was bid to do. Jonah, in the most craziest situation, he did. He went around and shared without wasting a moment. It says that when he was landed, without a moment of wasting a moment, he went into the city, a day's journey. Today is God looking for a Jonah to respond to his call? No. God is looking for you and me to answer his plan of salvation. It is you and I that God calls, his church, his followers, ordinary men and women who are willing to be consecrated to perform his plan of salvation to the people out there. Actually, you and I, we are God's number one plan to bring the message of salvation to others. It's none others. It's number one plan. Not to use the angels. His number one plan is to use us, each one of us, to bring the message to the lost. Now the question is not who God is going to use or how is he going to use or how many he's going to use, but the question we should ask ourselves is, God going to use me? Obviously the answer is yes. God is waiting for us to respond. Have you and I prepared to listen to the call of God in our heart? You don't have to go to the nations, but just right outside the sanctuary, among your friends. There's so many people who are like the Ninevites, need to hear the love of God. The call of God in your heart is to go out there, in your working place, among your friends and your loved ones. God is calling you and I to be there, to be their light in someone's darkness. God's call in our heart is to bring hope to someone out there who is in this hopeless situation. God's calling in our heart is to bring comfort when someone who have lost their loved ones, to bring peace when someone has lost their job. God's calling with you is to bring joy to someone's sadness. Simple as that. God's calling in your heart is to bring restoration to the broken relationship, to be out there to share. And God's calling in your heart is now to respond. And I pray that before we leave sanctuary, we'll say, yes, Lord, I will respond to your calling in my heart. Not to go anywhere else, but to be out there, to bring hope, to bring light, to bring peace, to bring comfort to someone who needs it. And God will work a miracle. When we say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do it, because there are many, many people out there that needs to hear, God will teach you how. He will bring you to the place at the right time to the right person. Many of God's servants in the Bible always give excuses. It's like us. You know, Moses is a typical example. He was just living a simple life, being a shepherd, shepherding his father-in-law's sheep. Then he saw this burning bush, and he heard the voice of God. And from there, the Lord called him, but he gave excuses and excuses until God showed him something. What What is in your hand? He said, a staff. Take that staff and go. God used what we have. And Moses is someone who always carry a staff. We know that Moses in Sunday school, we always carry a staff. And this is in his hand. God says, what you have, take the staff and go. God will use us, what we have, to share with people. Don't wait for the great anointing of the Lord, the calling of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. We keep on asking, anoint me, Lord, anoint me. Give me strength and strength in order to go. No, God says, go, and I'll be with you. Go and share the comfort to the person that needs it. You don't have to go to nations. Just be right out there to share God's word. You know, yesterday at the Welcome Center, Jamie and myself, we were sitting down there, and then this man came in. Then we shared with him. He was a Christian, but backslided, involved in very deep meditation of the Thai Buddhism. And he was very, very involved. And he shared with us that he had a ear infection. When he went to see the doctor just tell him this ear infection is very crucial. And that moment, he broke down. When he broke down, when he went back, he cannot chant anymore. He can't. He said that he can't. 牧师我不可以. He said he cannot chant to the Buddhist God, and no matter how hard he tried. And he was very, very deep in chanting the Buddhist, the Thai, Bangkok, those type of Buddhists, the four faces. And many, he got so much idols at home, he told us. But he cannot. I said, you have met God. And the Lord brought you at the Welcome Center at the right time, at the right place. Both Jamie and myself, we prayed for him. There was deliverance that took place. And I told him, the idols, do you still have it? He said, yeah. I got rid of almost all. I said, what do you mean almost all? Do you need to get rid of every idol? He said, left about four, which is very, very expensive. How cost 10, 20,000, 30,000. I said, you need to get rid of it. He says, this is being shared with his friend. The friend owns 60%. He owns 40% of the thing. So I said, okay, I give you a week. Get rid of it. Sell it back. Take whatever 40% back to you, but don't leave the idols at home. And he said, okay. And then he asked, can I bring my mom? I said, of course. So tomorrow, pray for us that he's bringing his mom to Hokkien. He's a typical Hokkien, very huge person. Just very rough in the way he talks. But pray that he will bring his mother tomorrow to Hokkien. He said, I'll try first. Boksu, I'll try first. Musu, I'm on Boksu, I said, yeah, come. He experienced. He got a touch. And we have to be there, right, at the right place and the right time to share. You don't have to go nation. I mean, we went Taiwan. You don't have to go, but God is calling you where you are. Bring your stuff, what you have in your hand, in a working place to share, and to be the comfort to the person, to be the joy to the person, to bring peace to the person. And that's all God is asking, right? We need to do that. Let us pray. I just want to pray for each one of us here. God, you are so merciful and you're so full of love, Lord. Father, we pray that this evening's message, simple as it is, your love unfailing, overtaking my heart, Lord. You take me in, finding peace again. Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God, and the world needs to see that you are God. Father, I pray for each one of us here this evening. It's a challenge to us, Lord, to just to get out there to our place, to the marketplace, to where we are, our working place, our colleagues, our friends, our loved ones, our family members, just to be there to share the love of God, your love. Lord, I pray that this evening you challenge us just to do that, to get out and go. And Lord, you will be the one speaking on our behalf. Thank you, Lord.